From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we are rejoicing to welcome Alex Barasa, the Regional Coordinator for Youth and Young Adult Ministry and Pastoral Juvenile, to the microphone, although his microphone is going to be the telephone. Alex, good day to you.
Good day, and it is a beautiful day, even though today is a toasty, 120? I don't even know how hot it is. It feels like 120.
It's not exactly Death Valley, Alex.
It's toasty, for
it sure. It feels like 120, though.
Yes,
indeed.
But it is a beautiful day nonetheless.
It always is. The thing I love about the Sacramento Valley weather in the summer is our nights are so beautiful.
You're right.
Our evenings are wonderful. So I'll take it. I love this time of year. But be that as it may, summertime is a time for you guys to really assess the coming year, and even so, a lot of events even in the summer.
That's true. I mean, we're winding down with events because August is upon us. We've had several of our Camp Pendola trainings or for camps for children. Mm-hmm. We hosted. So our diocese is part of the Episcopal region in the United States called Region 11. So we hosted a training for young adults for Pastoral Juvenil in Trinity Pines. So we had people from other dioceses come and join us. And it was very fruitful, beautiful. Weather was beautiful, thank God. It wasn't very hot, so we were there for 3 days teaching young adults that are doing young adult ministry how to see the reality and how to respond to pastorally to the needs of people around them.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about that. What kind of questions do they have?
Well, young adults, as we all know, right, there's no such thing as a young adult. Everybody's very different in their needs and desires and desires from life. Mm-hmm. What is it that they're looking for God to accomplish to them and for them? And ministry through young adults should focus on what is God calling those in front of them to do. So we had we follow a process called See, Judge, Act. And it's based on, depends on who you ask. Some people say it's German. Dutch. The speaker was telling us that it's a Dutch methodology of responding to the needs of people. So it's having a question on how, what is God wanting to do in the people in front of us, see the reality they're living in their story. And then coming up with what can we do as a church to respond to that, and then doing that, the act. So it's a see, evaluate. We say judge, but judge now has a bad connotation, but it's more like evaluate and then act on it. So it was young adults. There's so many questions people have specifically. People that think differently, and not only sociology-wise, but also the way people see life, what is God wanting from them, what is conversion look like, what should we be doing to foster that type of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fruitful. I mean, it was people want to serve. And they're willing to and open to serve.
Yeah, people really do want to serve, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So it was a blessing in itself to be able to be with young adults that believe in the church and they want to see us providing answers and solutions to the questions that young adults have today. So it was very not only illuminating, but makes you feel you with hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, the youth are hopes for tomorrow and sometimes even today. And I know as a dad, just looking at my own kids as they grow up and seeing the questions they have and the questions concerning our faith and the state of the world and all these things going on in the world and the many, some people call them distractions. I don't know that they're really distractions, but maybe they're just dealing with real things in the world. Mm-hmm. And the questions they come up with that just really penetrate you. And it gives me great hope for the future as well, to see how engaged they are, I guess. You know, they really care.
Yeah, and the question on how do we, I don't want to say convince, but how do we evangelize young adults to the extent that they believe in the sacrament?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That they come to believe that Christ is truly present in the sacrament,
mm-hmm.
And not only present because he wants to be there, but he wants to become part of us.
Right.
So,
right.
So it's it was a very a lot of hope.
Well, that's great. So what do we have planned for the rest of the summer and then into the fall?
Well, we are working now. I mean, big events. Of course, we have ministry days in September.
Right, late September.
It's always a team effort. And also we have On Fire, our largest gathering of young people. And also Young Adults Call, youth and young adult call from all over. And it's an awesome event. It's in Six Flags in
Vallejo.
Vallejo. And
there's six ways to say it, aren't there?
Yeah, I know. It's like, I'm working, I'm getting my California on.
See, I grew up in this area, and everybody, no matter what language they spoke, said Vallejo. I mean, they just said Vallejo. And then a lot of people started saying Vallejo, and others say Vallejo. And it's one of those words that most people still say Los Angeles, but it can also be Los Angeles.
Yes. Didn't they officially change it? I mean, I don't know. Yeah,
they still spell it the same way, and it's up to you to decide how you want to pronounce it.
It's hard. It's hard to figure out these things.
Yeah, it's.
But yes, so it's going to be there in September as well. September is going to be the month of everything.
Yeah, so that's September 17, and it runs. Don't let the time daunt you, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., but remember, it is a amusement park, for want of a better word, and that's what they used to call these places. I don't know what they call them now, and there will be a great opportunity to a wonderful, faith-filled day, but also a chance to, you know, ride those great rides at Six Flags right there in Vallejo.
Yes, it's mass. It's, we have adoration in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun in between. All you can eat in the middle. As long as the buffet is open, you can eat until your heart's content. So
it's usually not my heart; it's my stomach.
There you go. Yeah, it's good food, actually. I mean, you wonder sometimes, but they're cooking it there. Hamburgers or hot dogs.
Yeah, I've had many people tell me, go for the entertainment, stay for the food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and surprisingly, yeah, it's good.
That's
and
great.
So that one is, we're going to have, well, you know everybody, Steven Grisano, we're going to have Joe Melendres, and we're going to have
Father Joe Kim band. Will be there.
Yes, So, and one of the bands that have been coming now lately, Epic, they're from Florida.
Epic and Band, and Marie Pablo will be there as well.
So it's going to be fun. It's going to be worth the time. So that one is going to be fun. And then we're working on, I'm responsible for resourcing confirmation coordinators as well. And we're working on the next workshops that we're going to be offering as an office. Set of workshops. So this year we're, as an office, we're focusing, a catechetical office, we're focusing on how to involve parents in the, be conscious that our programs need to involve parents, period.
Absolutely.
So how can we do that effectively? And also, how can we, through our confirmation programs, develop a sense of belonging for the young people, so they learn to love each other or be with each other, and they want to continue being with each other in a youth group style. That's our hope, that we can inspire young people through the confirmation preparation, that we are all a community of believers, and then they can find their place. The rightful place in the church.
Very good, very good.
Too many words, right? I mean, they should pay me by the word.
So, tell us a little bit about Ministry Days too. For those that don't know, it's always the last Friday and Saturday of September at St. Francis Catholic High School.
Yeah, this year is going to be in St. Francis. Catholic High School alternates, and we are focused, of course, being the year. Well, it's in preparation of the big Eucharistic revival, so we're focusing on the thinking, meditating, how all of our different ministries should lead us to the Eucharistic presence. And we're going to have different, I don't want to say different, not different topics, but it's going to be applied to the different ministries that people do. What is, how do we teach people and how do we engage people to come to a deeper understanding that our Lord is truly present in the sacrament of the Eucharist? And then what should be the Eucharistic responsibility? So we receive the Lord, and what is the outcome? What should our life look like? So we have it's called a Eucharistic preacher. So the USCCB for the Eucharistic revival has a bunch of priests, religious, that are focusing on going around the United States to talk about this specific issue, that the Lord is truly present in the Eucharist and is asking something from us.
Yeah, it's encouraging that that's happening, and part of it is, troubling to me that it was necessary, you know. But I think it's a wonderful ministry, for want of a better word, and I hope it pays great fruit. I know it will. It was all kicked off, of course, on Corpus Christi Sunday, June 19th, this last year, last month. And hopefully people will really listen. I like that they are going to send speakers around the country and talk about it. Is when I read the poll numbers and things about the number of Catholics, it's not that they're unfaithful or unbelieving or anything, but a number of Catholics that just think that, well, it's a symbol, it's important, but they don't They really haven't embraced that truth that it is truly the body and blood of Christ, of Jesus Christ.
And what does it mean, right? What is our Lord challenging me to? Every time we go to Mass and we receive our Lord, we listen to His word. We receive Him in our body.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Lord asking of us, right?
And
so Friday, as always, is going to be for Catholic school personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturday, it's going to be for all other ministries.
Right, right.
Together. And on Saturday, it's going to be bilingual. And it's going to be hopefully the Lord allows us and bless us and we can do this together again. It's been not enough these past years with the pandemic. So it's going to be the first time we gather as a community of ministers. So it's going to be a beautiful moment.
Yeah, you know, I of course, the last two times you tried to do ministry days, we got jinxed. Maybe we shouldn't announce the date. Keep it secret. Ministry Days was going to be, of course, last September, and then it got moved. I think it was moved to April 1st.
Yeah, April Fool's. That was the April Fool's.
Yeah, see, we picked the wrong day there. And then, again, both times because of COVID for good reason, you know. But, I know a lot of planning goes into it, and just it's a great, great event, you know, and people don't like to see it canceled or postponed. Postponed is the correct word, but... Hopefully it's all going to be fine this September, and it'll be the 23rd and 24th of September.
September. Mm-hmm.
Friday and Saturday. And in past years, you've had up to 1,000 or even more participants from all over the diocese. I know several years I've participated as, I guess, a facilitator might be the right word, where you lead a workshop on a specific event, and it was just fascinating to me to see people that came from Wairika and Tule Lake and Weed and you know, Galt and Vallejo and everywhere else, you know, Benicia, Vacaville, on and on and on, Lake Tahoe. They came from everywhere to share their faith. And I remember we were talking about the domestic church, you know, the church at home, if you will, the role of parents in that, the role of children in that. And I was, along with one of my daughters, who was probably about 12 years old at the time, talking about what we do in our house. And then other people would raise their hand and say, you know, well, what we do in our house, and just a lot of great ideas, you know, and a lot of ways to spread the faith and strengthen the faith in the family. I've always felt that if say you're going to Mass on Sunday morning, as opposed to maybe the Saturday Vigil Mass or something, that if you do the readings with your children, they will really perk up when they hear the readings in Mass, the same readings. You know, they will and do the readings at home and discuss them. And it doesn't have to be some long academic pursuit or something. You just have some, and maybe even have one of, depending on the age of the kids, have one of them read it, you know, or share reading it, and then talk about it a little bit. Like, what's Jesus saying here? What's this? Why is this story in the Bible? What's this about? You know, whether it's the wedding feast at Cana or the prodigal son or the loaves and fishes or any other millions of stories out there, you know, Mary and Martha, on and on and on and on, the Good Samaritan. And then what is this about? And then the next day in Mass, they're not daydreaming. They hear those stories and they think, oh, we talked about this last night.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and it doesn't even have to be that even that formal, I will say.
Right, right.
My wife started on the way to church.
Mm-hmm.
She started this new tradition where she says, today's reading is going to be such and such. what do you remember about the reading?
Mm-hmm.
And then the 50-minute ride, we're all talking about the reading.
Mm-hmm.
What is the one thing that are you looking forward listening? And it makes a difference. It really does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, no matter the age of the kids, whether they're teenagers or they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, it really engages them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at least, like you said, I think very well, it perks up your ear when you're listening.
Yeah.
I heard this.
I heard this, and I think this, you know, and they want to hear what the priest has to say about it. And, it's wonderful stuff. And, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that is hard to understand. Sometimes it might be hard to do, you know,
yeah,
but it's not hard to understand what the story is about, what the meaning is. It's plain, pretty plain, simple thinking, you know, and always directly on message for sure. You know, and frequently I think, you know, other writings, kids can get bogged down, and I kind of got lost in that. And with the Bible, no, the Gospels, no, that stuff's just straight on. That's how you know it's from God, is because it's without flaw, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's life-giving, peace-giving.
Yeah.
It's, like you said, it's not hard to do. It's not difficult to understand. Maybe hard to do, but it's life-giving.
But it is easy. Yeah, easy to understand. Sometimes hard to do. You know, and but when Jesus says love one another as I have loved you, or love your neighbor as yourself, well, it's sometimes love one another or love your enemy. That's a tough one. It's a real tough one. But by golly, if you did it, it'd be a better world. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah, but
see, boy, that's why you're very smart.
I've said many times, I think that's the hardest thing Jesus has asked us to do, is to love your, and you know, they even say, hey, it's easy to love. I mean, it's easy to love your kids or your spouse or your friends, or you know, the people that you go out to dinner with, your coworkers, whatever. It's easy to love those people. You don't get any credit for that. You know, mm-hmm. Try loving your enemy. Try loving mm-hmm. somebody that actually doesn't like you, and sort of is actively in your face, doesn't like you. You know, it may be somebody at work. It may be somebody at school. It may be just a neighbor. It may be some long-standing dispute in a family. And people, well, I'll love them when they apologize to me, or I'll love them when, there's always conditions on it. And mm-hmm. Jesus doesn't have any conditions on it. He just says, love your, he doesn't say they got to apologize first. He doesn't even say they have to stop being your enemy. You know?
No, you're right.
He just says, love your enemy. And when I'm faced with that, I have to say, Jesus, you told me to do this. You better show me how, you know, because I don't know if I'm strong enough to do it by myself.
Mm-hmm. We tell them, the youth, that our family is our responsibility.
Right.
Loving our family is, being part of the family is our responsibility.
Sure.
I mean, helping a church is part of our who we are as baptized.
Right.
But loving those that are sometimes unlovable, or, I mean, that's what we are when we give out witness of our faith.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, we can. It's not easy to publicly proclaim our faith and to say I am who maybe I didn't choose to get baptized, but I am here, and God is hoping for me to
mm-hmm.
to give witness of His love.
Yeah, Jesus didn't always promise, well, that's just going to make everything perfect right now, like with a snap of the fingers. But he did tell us that was the right thing to do. And I don't need to, you know, there are lots of times it could have been a teacher or a friend or something that suggested a path, and you think, no, I don't think that path is so good, or I don't think that'll work, even if it was said in good faith. But if Jesus told you to do it, I don't need an explanation. You know, the fact that it came from Jesus, that he spoke those words and gave that guidance, that's enough. I don't need to know, well, why do you think that, Jesus? And I'm going to challenge him on it. I'm not going to challenge him on it. I'll challenge you, and you'll challenge me, and we'll challenge people in our daily lives when they suggest something that we think, I don't think that'll work. But when Jesus tells us to do it, you just do it. Or you sure try to do it.
And not only try to see the positive benefit for your heart.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, because we don't want to just have people go through motions with no feeling, but actually meditate on what is God telling me to do in that moment.
Right. And why is this person in my life? Why are they in my life? You know, what did I do to deserve this torment? You know, why is this person in my life? That's you can ponder that, but they are, and God knows they are, and God wants you to treat them as if they are the sons and daughters of God. You know, and that's how we're supposed to treat them. And I can sit here all day in my chair in front of a microphone and say that. When I go out the door, out into the world, I got to do it. And that's a lot harder than saying it.
Yes. Yes, it is. And not only do it once, but do it every day.
Yeah, do it every day. Well, I tried that, and the guy spit at my feet. And I go, I'm not trying that again. Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's not the right answer. I tried it and it didn't work, you know. Like, yeah, it's hard. It's hard stuff, Alex.
Yes, and you know, in confirmation, when we trying to equip teachers to have these tough conversations, it's a beautiful moment. It's a grace-filled moment when we can teach kids, young people in confirmation, how to do this. Yeah, this is the one thing that you cannot teach by words, but you have to teach by doing.
We have to teach by doing.
Right. Exactly. And because I can talk all I want, but in confirmation, our teachers, we call them, they're more like people that are walking in faith with young people. And they truly need to take it into heart and say, this is how you love. That's the one thing that we need to. We can only teach by doing. That's why service is very important in the whole realm of preparation to receive the sacrament of confirmation, because that's when we learn how to love somebody that otherwise would not be loved, or otherwise nobody would go and be close to them. So. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's, boy, that's really you have to do it is really important in the family too. I mean, your kids pick up on your actions way more than they pick up on your words. Mm-hmm. If they see you hanging up the phone and then bad mouthing the person you just talked to, or being angry at a neighbor, or driving the car and yelling at somebody that cut you off in traffic or something, you know, they pick up on that. Oh, that's, I guess this is acceptable behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not we like to think so, they model that. They just do. I mean, that's what they're exposed to. That's what they're seeing. And you could say, oh, I shouldn't have said that, but just in front of your kids, you just did it, you know, and they really pick up on it. And so, you know, it all starts in the family, for sure. You know, if you want to change the world, it starts at home.
Yes. And during the pandemic, we focus on having the mercy in motion. I think we talked about it before that it was online. And one of the things that I really, really liked about the program is that young people and the whole family were doing it together
mm-hmm.
with a young person.
Right.
And it was the word awesome, right?
Right.
Seeing how families were really into the doing the food for the homeless, or
right.
even drawing cards for those in hospitals or nursing homes. So it was very, very telling on how our families, when invited to do, they will. They're ready. People are ready. They want to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And we can be the bridge, and as a church, as a community. So it's really beautiful to see that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I love how you said that, Alex. They really want to follow Jesus. You know, all you do is look at TV and you see rallies and speakers and all these politicians, you know, spouting this or spouting that, and of all stripes. And why do I want to follow any of them? Mm-hmm. Jesus isn't going to lead you astray, period. I mean, there are some people that are doing their level best to do good work. I'm not disputing that. But the one that you know is the perfect one to follow is Jesus. He's never going to lead you astray. He's never going to lead you down a bad path. He's never going to deceive you. He's never going to trick you. He's never going to demand something of you that's not possible for you to do.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to and you're going to be at peace when you do that.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. We can listen to some people, and then you're at the end, you're like, oh, I don't feel at peace.
Yeah, I don't feel at peace. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when you truly listen to what God is calling you in your heart, I mean, you do feel at peace.
Yeah, indeed, mm-hmm. indeed. Well, Alex, it's such a joy to talk with you. Anything you wanted to talk about that I didn't bring up?
Well, we've been talking to young adults. The groups, young adult groups,
mm-hmm.
and what we have found or heard is that sometimes we say, well, young adults are adults, and they don't need anything from the community, and what we're finding is that young adults still need the community. They still need like the auntie and the uncle person to be walking with them, and I think that's an important lesson that we have learned, that just because you get older doesn't mean that you don't need that community in that sense. So we're trying to figure out how to word this in a way that when a parish is looking to do young adult ministry, even though they're looking to have young adult lead themselves, they still need that community. They still need the support from us older members of the community. So I think it speaks volumes to who young adults are in this generation, and what can we do to empower them to do ministry.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, Alex, always good to talk with you, and we'll look forward to you being on the show again real soon. And God bless you and your ministry and your family, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you. It's always a blessing talking to you. You're always a person of hope and always always fun to be around.
Oh, thanks so much, Alex. God bless.
That's
Alex Peraza, who is the regional coordinator for Youth and Young Adult Ministry and Pastoral Juvenile here in the Diocese of Sacramento. If you need to get a hold of Alex, you can email him at A Barraza. That's ABARRAZA at scd.org, or you can give him a call. He's at 916-733-8255. 0134. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Jennifer Campbell, Director of Trinity Pines Catholic Center. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Jennifer, for that wonderful introduction. Well, we're pleased to welcome in Marie Leatherby, the Executive Director of the Sacramento Life Center, which is celebrating its 50 years of existence. Marie, good day to you.
Good day to you, Bob.
Good to hear your voice, as always, as we struggle through the summer.
Yes, yeah. At least have a little breeze, even if it's 105.
I know. There is a little breeze out there. I remember one summer before we had kids, my wife and I decided we had to see Death Valley in the summer. And we came back to our little home in Davis, and all of a sudden it seemed a lot cooler.
Yeah, I bet.
When we were
there, it's 125. Or
yeah, it was the one day we were there, or no, the hottest day we were there. We were there a couple of days, was 121, and it's a different experience.
Oh wow! Yes,
it's worth doing once, you know. And I've always been fascinated by weather, you know, and weather phenomenon, and had always been fascinated by Death Valley, and had never been there, and it was really real eye-opening. And just the awe of nature. I mean, we got nature in a million different ways just in California. You know, if California was a country, we'd have enough scenery for a whole country.
I know. It is one of my favorite things about California. Yeah. Got great weather and beautiful scenery.
great scenery. Yeah. A lot of places where if you didn't believe in God before, you would afterwards. Yosemite, the redwoods, the Pacific Ocean. Just there's just so much beauty.
So much there. Lake Tahoe. I know. We do. It's just beautiful.
Wonderful stuff.
Yeah. Now we just have to get it pro-life, Bob.
Well, you know, there are probably more pro-lifers in California than any other state. Maybe not percentage-wise, but certainly just in terms of raw numbers, we have such huge population, and it's still very early since the Dobbs decision, but there was this thinking that there may be an exodus to California, if you will, not from. people seeking abortion, and obviously that might you might see some of those people. You might not, you know, but you might
right.
well see some of those people as well. Have
yeah.
you noticed anything at all yet?
We've been busy, but we did a big advertising campaign as well to attract some of these people coming
mm-hmm.
with our free services, or if you know, are undecided or want to talk about your abortion, or you know, and so the advertising campaign is making us busier. So whether those are people that you know are out of state or we're reaching new people, I'm not sure, but
so I'm curious, Marie, how did you run the advertising campaign, and did you run it in other states, and was it, you know, newspapers, TV, radio, internet? How did you run the campaign?
Well, you know, 90-some% of our people find us on Google.
Uh-huh.
So it's Google ad campaigns, and it's anybody that's looking for abortions in our, you know, our area, the
uh-huh.
Sacramento region and beyond, will get our ads.
Mm-hmm.
And we're running several different ads depending on, you know, where women are at or...
Uh-huh.
You know, we have abortion pill reversal. We can give them information on the abortion pill. We can, you know, verify their pregnancy and, you know, do a dating ultrasound to make sure it's viable. We can do a lot for those women for free before they, you know, go seek their abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we're hoping to be able to hit some of them, because I think some of what the government... California is going to do is reimburse them, but that means they have to have that money to begin with.
Right.
So hopefully the word free and, you know, non-judgmental
mm-hmm.
care, I think we're going to get busier. I'm kind of feeling it already.
And you're a licensed medical clinic?
Yes, licensed and accredited. We have a great team of medical people, nurses and doctors, nurse practitioners, medical assistants that can get women, started on good care.
And there's no financial considerations at all. You don't charge anybody. You don't have to fill out a form claiming to be below a certain income level or anything else. It's all free.
Right. There's no qualifying. We'll help anybody that comes through our door, you know, with anything they need. So, yeah. So we're hoping to get busier. We're thinking our ad campaign will help us get busier. And we've been seeing it, an increase in the past couple of weeks, several a day, you know, people responding to the campaign. So as long as Google lets us keep doing it, because, you know, Google's been known to.
Yeah, and they are a private company, and so they can they can call their own shots, you know, and
mm-hmm.
And you know, basically, I'm always in favor of companies being able to run their own stuff, and if you don't like the company, well, you don't have to deal with the company, you know, but some
okay.
of these companies have gotten so big, especially in the information world, that.
Right.
It seems like people say, well, I got freedom of speech. Well, you don't have freedom of speech on a private platform, you know. But
right.
I work for a newspaper, and I tell people all the time, I say, you know, they can take ads. They can turn down ads. My newspaper made a decision unilaterally years ago. I don't own the newspaper, but the newspaper I worked for, that they weren't going to take tobacco ads anymore. They gave up. They gave up a fair amount of money, and it was just.
Yeah.
And I don't even think they were pressured to do so. You know, it wasn't like there was some big campaign, and you're a bad guy if you. You know, it was just. They just in
they feel the right thing to do.
Ownership decided it was the right thing to do.
Uh-huh.
They looked at the data and they said, you know, this is going to cost us some money, but we think it's the right thing to do. And I was very proud of them for that. But nobody said, well, that's against the law, or that's against, you know, freedom of speech, you know.
Right.
You know, and that's the way it is. And, but I know that Google could one day say, well, we're not going to take your ads.
Right, because there's been several, you know, Democratic senators, 21 to be exact, or congressmen, I forget which it is, but 21 of them signed a thing to Google to stop running pregnancy center ads. So, you know, we've, in California, we've written Google a letter. I know a lot of the other Heartbeats and national pro-life groups have written a letter, you know, explaining to them the work we do, that these Congress people are misinformed, and it's just a political, you know, stunt they're pulling here. And so far, so good.
Well, I think, you know, the best thing you could have, obviously writing to them, but the best thing you could do is invite them in. Invite them
exactly.
in.
Exactly. And we've done that as well. Yep.
Come in undercover, you know, do a reverse Lila Rose, you know.
Right.
Come in undercover and do your own investigation. And we would welcome that.
You know. We've done that. We've invited them into pregnancy clinics, you know, especially over where the Google headquarters over there. So those directors, we've gotten them to invite them in. So let's see what they do. And pregnancy centers have been getting, you know, such a bad deal in the press. So, you know, we just met with the Sacramento Bee. I hope they give us a fair shake, brought them in, because we decided we can keep our heads down and keep working, but at some point, we've got to kind of defend ourselves.
No, you do. And, you know,
yeah.
To me, one of the strongest arguments is that in this pro-choice state, you're providing choice.
Exactly.
You are providing choice. Just, and I've said this about Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home and the St. Patrick's Maternity Home up in Mother Teresa Maternity Home. I'm sorry, up in Placerville. They have St. Patrick's Church up there. You know that they're providing choice. They're not, you know, they're not bending anybody. And you folks are providing choice. You're not breaking anybody's arm. You're not kidnapping anybody. You're not browbeating anybody. You're not indoctrinating anybody. You're giving them a choice. And they can, they are free to reject that choice, but you're giving them the choice.
Yes. And so many of them, like I was telling this, do you change their mind once they find out that there is help available, that they can do this?
Right. Because, you look at the Guttmacher Institute, which has all kinds of data on abortion. In fact, they've just released a whole bunch of it just in the last few days. It's frequently people who feel alone in it. It's frequently people who have already had children and don't feel like they can afford another child. And it's frequently very much about help and economics and things that you're providing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we just help them with so many things. You know, we've started a scholarship fund. We have a benevolent fund to help them with, you know, immediate emergency needs. We've got Lyft rides because a lot of them can't afford gas.
Right.
We just keep, you know, developing new things to fill a need to help women where they're at. You know, we get accused of delaying care, and I'm like, what, they get a same-day appointment, they get on their insurance, they get hooked up with a, you know, OB doctor, they get, you know, their pregnancy test, ultrasound, everything.
Like, yeah, you're getting women hooked up with doctors, getting them onto insurance. I mean, so many people, they can't jump through that hoop.
Yeah.
It's just hard. Beyond... It's beyond their capability. Some people paperwork read. I'm one of them. You know, fortunately, I've had people my whole life take me by the hand and pull me through the red tape. But I can remember when I went to college. I came home one day and it was during O week. You know, when orientation week, and you had to do all this stuff. And before there was an internet, and I remember telling my mom and dad, I said, I think I can go to college, but I don't think I can get through O week. You know, it's like, and you're seeing, you see the same thing. The fact that you could get somebody instantly onto insurance is such a joy to them is such a blessing to them.
They don't know how to navigate doctors. Get them right in. I mean, just all those hoops that women see, like, how am I going to do this? They leave with, like, oh, my gosh, this is great. You know, we can hook them up with WIC, and we've got all their supplies. And it's like, this is going to be easy now.
Well, yeah, and, I mean, you know, just think about it. You know, you have a medical condition or that's just come upon you other than an emergency, and you pick up the phone and call your provider, and they say, well, we might be able to get you in a week from Tuesday.
Exactly.
Or how about, and if it's not, you know, critical, I mean, critical, how about September 20th? And you're like, what? That's two months away, you know?
Yes. And it's so true. And, you know, here we are just for free, not using taxpayer dollars for any of this, helping these women. And it's just beyond belief that people would attack, you know, our work. But
yeah, you know, it's also true that the services you provide, you would be eligible for tax dollars. You would be. You know, I mean, there are lots of nonprofit charitable organizations that have government that receive government money. You know, it's a lot of even faith-based groups that receive government money because they're doing good work for the society. You know,
right.
And yet you have chosen not to, and you know, financially to your own detriment, but it also frees you to really do exactly what you want to do without having somebody from the government saying, well, we're going to give you this money, but you have to do this with it or this with it or that with it.
Right.
You know,
you've got to toe the line this way or that way. And it gives us a lot of freedom and our programs and not all that red tape. We can just decide to help someone right there on the spot and get them what they need without, all the red tape. And so it's wonderful organization, and I'm just always feel blessed to be a part of it. I feel God's hand is on it, and we just help a lot of people, a lot of women and men and families and kids, and you know, we're just one big happy family.
So Marie, you mentioned scholarship, and the last time you were on, I think we talked about this a little bit, but for somebody that missed it, talk a little bit about this scholarship fund that's been started.
Yeah, so, you know, we get, you know, women and girls who are in school or girls that say, I'll never get to be what I want if I have this baby or, you know, or have to take time off. And we just saw, you know, over and over, and I just said, for our 50th year, we have to start a scholarship fund. We have to help these people take the next, either, you know, complete school or get in a program or better their lives. So we named it after, you know, Connie Copas, who was one of our founding board members, and Pam Anderson, who was a longtime volunteer. We named it after them, and we ended up putting it out there. Both those families contributed very generous amount, and along with a few others, we started it with $50,000.
Wow.
And I know, we're just like blown away how everybody has just thought, wow, this is a great needed program. So we will be selecting our first applicants here at the end of this month for the fall program, and we have eight really good applicants so far. We're not doing a big reach out into the community. We're just doing our patients right now and seeing what the need is. We've asked a few of you know, the women's organizations that we partner with. We've sent it to them. But yeah, the need is everywhere. You know, we have somebody, I just need to get my GED so I can do this to, you know, I took a year off nursing school, or we have an LVN that would like to continue her education. But a gal that just, you know, refugee, I just want some computer skills. And so we have a whole different need, but we're really excited, and I'm hoping we can help all of them.
Boy, that's great.
You know, in some way. We even had a father, even for women, he said, I really want to get my trucker's license to support my family. Can I put in an application?
Wow.
So I said, put it in. I'll ask the committee what they think. But, you know, he's stepping up and wants to support his new baby. They found out they're having one. And so we'll see if we can, you know, help, just helping families is what we're all about. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Next year I'm going to have four kids in college, so I may apply.
Yeah. I know. So, yeah, it's kind of fun.
Boy, and that's that's just so wonderful. It just brings a smile to my face.
Yeah. Oh, I had a call today from one of our past patients. Her son is now 4 years old, and he had a lot of in the womb. He had a lot of issues. The mm-hmm. doctors had wanted to abort him, and she stuck through and has a beautiful four-year-old. You know, mm-hmm. they were able to do some surgeries on him. He mm-hmm. lives a normal, great life. He's full of energy, adorable. And she called today and said, okay, I'm at the age I want to help women. I want to go to sonography school because I want to help women like you helped me. And so she's putting in an application to have us help her with that. So it's all really good stuff.
Boy, that's great. Mm-hmm. And we can't let you go without asking about the great dinner coming up the first Saturday in November.
Yeah, it'll be our big 50-year celebration at the Hyatt Regency again. We're already, you know, selling tickets and tables and ads and getting our auction together, and we just really need the community to come together and participate in some way. And we've got some sponsors, but we always need more, and it'll be just a big celebration celebrating, you know, all the lives that have been touched in 50 years. Just there's so many, and so many people have been a part of it. So we're hoping for great success on November 5th.
Do you still need some auction prizes and auction items?
Yes, we always do. It can be something small or big, or put together a basket or gift cards or vacation home, air miles. I mean, anything. Most people have something. You know, a bottle of wine out of their wine fridge. We'll take it all and put it together to help make a fabulous auction. If people, you know, have a question on whether we need something, you can call us, 916-451-4357. Somebody today, you might want this, Bob, dropped off a Joe DiMaggio signed baseball.
No way.
Yeah. We'll have that in auction.
See, a lot of people think Joe DiMaggio is just somebody people sing about. They don't think he's a real person.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that'll be fun.
A Joe DiMaggio autographed baseball, that's in the thousands.
Yeah. So, well, you know, you're going to have to bid on it, Bob. kids can't go to college.
I'm going to need one of your scholarships so I can bid on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. Well,
yeah.
Marie, always a joy to talk with you. Thanks for all the great work you do, and we'll look forward to our paths crossing again real soon.
Okay.
Thanks so much. God bless. That's Marie Leatherby, the executive director of the Sacramento Life Center. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks to our producer, Gabe Sorensen. Thanks to all of you for listening. God bless.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, that God is love.